Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
For her turnaround shot in the air. It's good.
Whoa.
Finds the ball. Barkley puts it up. Does it count? It does.
Jake O'Donnell.
Hey guys, it's Espo here to tell you about our friends at DraftKings. It's everybody's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the action with giving you a shot to land $1 million. Oh, you read that right. $1 million this week. DraftKings is giving you a chance at it for free. It's the top prize when you download and sign up using the promo code TBPN. If you haven't used DraftKings, now is the time. I'm telling you, fun app. You can use it. And now when you get a shot at $1 million, why the hell wouldn't you? It's easy to play. Pick 6 golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off Thursday morning. Then sit back and follow the action. Rack up points for pars, birdies, and finishing position and more. The more in the red that your guys are on the leaderboard, the closer you are to scoring some green. Even though you may not be able to hit the course with the pros, DraftKings is giving you a chance to scratch your competitive itch and reign supreme. Easy enough for me to say. Interesting phrase there. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code TBPN, that's TBPN, during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at $1 million. That's code TBPN, TBPN, and you can get a free shot at $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Tonight's matchup on the solar panel, Espo versus the Solar Fox versus Carmel Thunder.
Hello and welcome everybody to another edition of the Solar Panel, whether you're listening to us wherever you get podcasts or watching us live on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We are very happy to have you, the Flaming Ballers, with us. I'm your host, Greg Esposito. Ahoy, hoy. Joining me, as always, the Silver Fox, Dave King. Dave, how are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How's everyone else doing today?
Good. You and I look like we're ready to storm a building or something dressed in what appears all black today. Jeez. Yeah. Well, I don't know why we're dressed
just
like
Saturday
this.
Morning, you know, dressed up. That's right. Yeah. So all the one dressed properly with the Suns gear.
And as always, joining me, the man, the myth, the legend, the Carmel Thunder from down under, Saul Bookman. Saul, how are you?
I'm way far worse now that you read a 45-minute intro for DraftKings.
Do not rip on the new sponsor, DraftKings, all right?
No, hey, DraftKings, we appreciate everything that you're going to give us. I don't even know what the hell that is, but that's cool. I was sitting here, I was like, this is long.
Look, that's what happens when you start making little
I threw
money.
My back out yesterday, so I'm a tad bit cranky today. Hey, sitting in this chair right now.
You've had a busy week, so we will forgive you for that, Mr. Bookman. Before we get into the Suns, and there's a good chance that neither of you had a chance to see this before we did the show, but I'm going to bring it up anyways. The new Space Jam trailer, Space Jam: A New Legacy, dropped this morning, And on this program, I have stated my pure and utter hatred of the first movie. Total trash. All right. That's my stance. If you don't
Space
like
Jam,
it.
The original Space Jam.
Yeah, it's garbage.
The original Space
Jam. But it had Looney Tunes.
Doesn't matter. And you can at me if you don't like that take, because quite frankly, I don't give a crap.
Wascally Espo.
But, you know, I'm going to tell you this.
It's restrictions apply.
Yes. I'm just going to tell you this, right? I think LeBron James is going to become the greatest of all time, the GOAT, single-handedly by making a Space Jam that looks interesting. The new trailer actually looks interesting, and the man looks like he can act. So, Michael Jordan, you can suck it. I think LeBron James is now the greatest of all time. But and now that I've gone on that ring.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and start this show all over, because that is unacceptable banter from Espo this morning. I will not have any Michael Jordan slander on this show ever, unless we're going to talk about the 93 finals. Okay, we can bring him back. Hi, Espo.
This show is always allowed to have Michael Jordan slander because it's a Phoenix Suns show, so that's allowable. And I didn't say basketball.
You're not going to do it at the expense of Laker love.
Hey, I'm sorry. LeBron isn't a Laker. LeBron is a mercenary. Let's be honest. He's a Laker
right now, and we might have to face him in the playoffs. And how bad are you going to feel if that goes the wrong way? Look, and it's all on you, Espo. It's all on you. LeBron, right now, I'm recording this. It's all on you.
LeBron is a better actor than Michael Jordan, and I can say that from seeing that trailer. That is where I am. I'm going, and I'm going to stick with it. And you can suck it, Saul. That's all I'm going to say this morning. All right,
you can stick it where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, all right. Look, even I'm salty after reading a. By the way, thank you to our new friends over at the Basketball Podcast Network for setting up the ads with DraftKings. We appreciate you guys. Let's get into some Suns talk, as there was a lot going on this week. As always, it seems like we were so used to March and April just being, hey, when's the season going to end? And what does Tankathon say our draft lottery odds are at? And it ain't that anymore. There's some interesting and exciting things going on out there. And the first one this week, one Stephen A. Smith had a take that I think we'll all find interesting. Let's take a listen to that.
That only a handful of teams in the NBA have a bona fide, certified superstar in the NBA. The kid is the real deal. An offensive force, a player who can take over a game by his damn self. 45 points last night, averaging over 25 a game on the season. And like DeAndre Ayton, still got his best basketball ahead of him, not behind him. This whole Suns team still has their best basketball ahead of them. And anyone still ignoring them, you're missing a damn good show. These brothers can ball. They're fun to watch. They defend. They're exceptionally well coached. They have leadership. And they have a star. Look out for Phoenix, y'all.
Look out for Phoenix, y'all.
I'm just going to tell you that Devin Booker. Oh, yeah,
calm down. First man. Off, whoa. Just was it weird that the when the music stopped, I thought his take was over the first time I saw this, and then he goes another minute before he finishes up, like he scripted it almost one like way.
Almost like reading a DraftKings ad.
Hey, Dave, what were your takes on one Stephen A. Smith there?
My first take is that you did an excellent job for a first time ever reading a DraftKings ad. And for when I have to take my turn, it's going to be a lot worse. So that's my first take. My second take is that Stephen A., this is the same dude who, and I'm sure you guys are going to bring this up in a second, is the same dude who wanted Devin Booker traded for Kyle Kuzma a few months ago. He just grasped at headlines and takes his hot takes for the day. It is nice to know that someone's finally doing a hot take on the Suns, being, you know, being better than everybody expects. I know the Suns still don't get a lot of credit. I think it was Zach Lowe the other day who wrote that on his 10 things I like and don't like is that the Suns are still not considered one of the top four contenders for the representing the West in the finals. They're like, oh yeah, and Phoenix. I mean, you can say, oh yeah, and Utah as well. And oh yeah, and maybe the Clippers as well, just like the Suns. But so they're still not quite getting all the credit we want them to get, but at least they're starting a groundswell.
You know, I'll say it like this, and I don't mean to be a homer, but we all know that I went to the U of A, right? And there was, you know, if the Arizona women's basketball team could teach everybody a thing or two about getting disrespected when there's a video that populates from the NCAA about Final Four teams and they are excluded from it, and Adia Barnes is given the double mids in a huddle last night to fire her team up, the way they responded to all this negativity, that's the way you need to approach it. And I think the Phoenix Suns are doing exactly that. You know, they're giving the big middle fingers to the rest of the NBA, like, fuck your feelings. Like, I don't care about you. I don't care about what you think. I don't care about what your impression of us is. We're just going to keep going out there. We're just going to keep balling. We're just going to keep winning ball games. Like, pretty or not, they are winning. And it feels pretty damn good. It feels pretty damn good.
So thank you for your big donation to Swears for Kids. It's when you curse and you give money.
Please don't use that phrase because you stick a super jingle in my head when you do. Stop it.
Swears for Kids.
Stop it.
Dave, mental issues for you.
Oh, God.
Look,
I mean, Stephen, I'm going to have to disengage from the chat for a little while.
Stephen A., thank you so much, because if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have known of this young man, Devin Booker, you speak of. I would have missed a 32-point performance on Friday night, because you obviously discovered him when nobody else had on Wednesday, and we appreciate that. Like, I hate this. Oh, there's a star in Phoenix. Yeah, there's been a star in Phoenix for 4 years. Congratulations for waking up and showing up finally. It was like Stephen A. scanned the NBA box score the morning of that show and went, huh, the Suns had a good game and this Devin Booker gentleman scored 45. Maybe I'll rant about that on my show today. Like, really? Yes.
In Devin one Booker's impression, you star. Went from like the 1960s journalist, Albert, and then to, I'm going to rant about that on my show today.
I don't know what, why all of a sudden Stephen A. was just like, now I'm going to realize there's something going on here. I mean, probably the fact that they're 26-6 in their last, since starting the season at 8-8, and it's tough to ignore the second best record in the NBA. And I get it. After you've been irrelevant for a decade, yeah, the national people aren't going to pay a lot of attention to you. I mean, we talked about Bomani Jones getting in arguments with Suns fans about how Devin Booker isn't really an all-star and all this stuff that Bomani was grandstanding about. I think it's right now, it's easy to have hot takes about the Phoenix Suns because they're surprisingly on the national stage. I mean, the jump, which, you know, that ripped on the Suns for the last 5 years, was praising them this week, had DeAndre Ayton on, those kind of things. So the national storyline is officially.
Hey, that was the best interview Ayton's done, by the way.
That all comes with success, though. Like, yeah, I understand we're gonna bash all these, you know, mainly ESPN for doing what they do. But I mean, if you were, you know, any other team like the Magic, right? For like a decade, almost just as long as us, as long as they lost Dwight Howard, they were one of the worst teams in basketball too, and they didn't get any love. And then they finally made the playoffs last year, and they got a little bit of love here and there, but that was about it. Mainly Aaron Gordon and stuff. But like, it's if you suck, you're not going to get recognition. You're not going to get praise. Even your star players being the best team, best player on the worst team in the NBA is not going to get you any love. It just isn't. Like,
oh, I agree.
We all have to accept that and then move on.
It shouldn't either. But right now, We're the people who found that fun little hole in the wall restaurant years ago, and we loved to go there on Friday nights.
And then Driving Diners and Dives came through and screwed it all up for everybody.
Exactly. Guy Fieri shows up, slaps his graffiti-painted mug on the wall, and all of a sudden everybody knows about the place.
In that analogy, except when we discovered it, the food was crap, too. And then it finally got good. And then Diners, Dives, and Drivers.
This is true. This is true. Then they changed the chef, and then all of a sudden things got better.
No, look, the one meal on
we're just going, we knew about this place.
No, they had one meal on the menu, the Devin Booker, that we all enjoyed. And then the rest was crap. Now they've just surrounded the Devin Booker with other meals that we enjoy to partake in, right? That's part of it. But yeah, I mean, I think it was more Stephen A's surprise. It felt like he was surprised that there was a star in Phoenix. Like he was saying,
first he heard of it, and he's the first one who ever discovered it.
Yeah, he's Columbus stepping on the Americas and going, I discovered this land despite all these people already here.
He's the one who landed on the secluded beach on the highly populated island. Yes. Because I have discovered this place.
Welcome. We've been here for a while. We know we've been stranded by ourselves. It's nice to have the rest of you here now, is the point that I was trying to get to. So I expect we'll get a lot of this over the next few months, where it's just people that are like, oh, Devin Booker. Yes, we've been pounding the table forever about this. Well, you were saying he was a looter and a riot, but now he's actually doing exactly what he was doing before, and you're recognizing it. So welcome.
Just trying to Cypress Hill this conversation. Is that what that was?
What was that?
A looter and a riot?
I don't remember who said that. Somebody called him that.
Cypress Hill.
I understand the lyric reference.
Original, right? Looter and right. No. He was referring to someone called Devin Booker that.
One of the national guys said when he was scoring all those points, and they were
Suns and Suns fans and Suns Twitter and Suns YouTube and what all these other platforms are. We'll never forget. We will never forget somebody called him a looter and a riot.
Yeah. Well, and Charles, the nacho cheese is hot now. And just so you remember, too.
What I thought was really cool, I'll give you a little insight. After the game the other night, when Booker did scored 45 points, 20 in each of the halves, somebody asked him after the game, how does it feel scoring 45 points for the second best team in the league versus, earlier in your career? Does it feel any different? And, that was an obvious, softball lob, but, Booker just kind of usually brushes those things off, but he just kind of sat there for a second. And he goes, yeah, it does. It feels a lot different doing it for a great team. And
is that the voice that you use to get your fiance?
It does.
Is that what you're saying? I use the Booker voice. Well, she loves the Suns too, so I hope it's not the Booker voice that gets her. So the next question was, someone caught him talking to Patrick Williams, 19-year-old Patrick Williams, after the game and giving him some love and all that, and he said, I have always been a quiet guy. I've always been a guy who just wants to do my business, get it done, score, or try to help us win, do everything we can to win and all that. And now I'm actually seeing that it's been recent, but I'm starting to actually be somebody that people are asking advice from and giving advice unsolicited to people who want to, who are new in the game and may or may not be stars one day, but certainly they are young, young, athletic and talented people. And Patrick Williams is talented. That's for sure. If he can figure out his offense, I think that's a great transformation for Devin Booker too. He's always been the young guy that was given advice to, and now he's a mid-career guy who's actually giving advice to the younger generation. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, and you could tell that the impact of guys like Kobe and Dwayne Wade and those who pulled him aside early in his career actually left a mark on him, and why he's going to do that with guys like Patrick Williams. He understands between the lines. I'm going to take you to school in a different way, which he did with Patrick Williams. And then I'm going to teach you a little bit after we're off the court as well. Love that about Devin Booker. And it's probably why he's getting some MVP attention finally. The NBA and NBA.com put out their MVP ladder this week, and Devin Booker's finally climbed a few rungs. He is number 10 out of their top 10 in MVP candidacy. First time we've seen a Sun actually on that list, and I think it's interesting. I mean, you look at it, Jokic is one, Damian Lillard's two there, James Harden is three, Giannis four there, and Luka is five. I still don't get that. His team
I don't
sucks,
understand
but...
why Luka Doncic is in the conversation for any of this at all. At all. Zero.
Because his team is barely making the play-in.
Dude, it doesn't.
At this point.
Like Devin Booker's team almost made the playoffs last year. Like, it's pretty much the same thing because they would have finished in the ninth spot. And if they had the play-in, they would have made it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just it's just trash. It's absolute trash. It's overhyped BS that everybody wants to put on Luka since day freaking one. I understand he was great his first year. He's been great his whole career. Like, let's be real. Like, he's been a very, very, very good player. But MVP, get the out of here, man. I don't want to hear that shit. Sorry.
Another players for kids.
Oh, God.
I muted myself before I actually did it. I don't know why I did. I should have just went ahead and said the F word. Why not?
Saul Bookman, no, funding it. Children in need.
I don't know what you're saying. You muted yourself
since 21. I said the F, but I didn't say it. And then I said the S-H-A. Yeah. You know, okay. We can spell. There we go.
Let's look, though. Yeah, if Luka's five, Devin Booker should be in the top four then in this, I think. But that's just not the way this game is played. There was a narrative that was cast in stone before the season. I mean, even in commercials I think it was ESPN talking about how Luka was chasing an MVP. So when that narrative is pushed on you so much, I think that's why it happens. Devin Booker's sneaking in to the discussion now. Now, do I think he'll supplant guys? I don't know. Dame Lillard's number two on the list. I think you could make an argument that Devin Booker and Dame, depending on where they finish in the standings, that Devin should be closer there. But Giannis is doing Giannis things. Nikola Jokic, let's be honest, Denver would be totally and utterly lost without Nikola Jokic. I understand that. You know, LeBron is ahead of him. LeBron's LeBron. With the injury, I expect him to start to slide back. But, you know, I'm glad to see Devin Booker getting some attention in the MVP conversation.
You know, what's sad is he's still behind Kyrie Irving on that very list. And Kyrie Irving is the third best player on his team.
Well, Kyrie Irving's also missed like two-thirds of their games. That's my bigger beef. Like,
right,
Kyrie
he just
Irving.
Takes a week off, just random.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, at random, like, he'll be gone for a week. He's completely unreliable, whether it's warranted or not, like, it's unreliable. Like, if he has to get away because he's just, you know, he's mentally consumed and he's having some issues, like, cool, that's fine. But he's still missing games that he does have the physical ability to play. So it's like, all right, well, you can't take somebody like that and say, okay, well, when he does play, he's the MVP. Because it just doesn't work like that. Because there's other dudes that are putting in work day in and day out and coming through for their teams every single game, like Devin Booker. James Harden hasn't missed a game since he's been with the Nets. You know what I mean? Like, James Harden is the MVP, in my opinion, like of the league right now. Because he's been better than anybody's best this year so far. He's just been awesome.
He could be the first MVP ever to start a season with a different team.
Yeah, but can you really name a guy MVP who forced his way off of a team?
I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I don't care about that because MVP is the best player, period. Like, he's been the best player in the league this year. It's not even debatable.
And if the Nets get the first seed in the East,
I don't give two craps about somebody saying, I don't want to play for this crappy organization. I want to go somewhere else. We've seen it here before. And maybe you're scorned by that, Espo, and you don't like that when people force their way out of, you know, cities where, you know, you've bought into them. But, hey, that's the breaks. If you don't want people to leave your organization, stop being a crappy organization and they won't leave. And the Suns have proven that now. They're a great organization now, or they're building up to that. James Jones has helped that turn that around. Monty Williams has helped turn that around. Now it's a destination. Chris Paul wants to come. Other players want to come. So I don't care that he wants to go to the Nets, and I think he's the MVP.
Look, I get that, but to me, most valuable player includes your leadership and how do you lead. And what he pulled in Houston, at least this year, isn't a leadership quality. That's why he wouldn't get my MVP vote because
was he a leader for the 8 years prior or the 5 years prior?
You could debate that. I think that some of the stories you heard, you could debate
that. It's regular season MVP. It's not playoffs MVP.
Yeah, look, I'm just this year, if you pout and whine and threaten to not play and all and yada 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 to get your way out of Houston, you're not the most valuable player in the league. Sorry. I wouldn't vote.
Well, since Houston they has don't since give me lost a vote. 20 in a row at different, or maybe it was 23, I don't know. It was a lot of games in a row. And the Nets are now the best team in the East. That says maybe it was Harden.
To your point, Saul, if we're just counting basketball, just simply what's done on the court and you ignore everything else, yes, James Harden's season is the best of anybody right now. I'm not going to disagree.
If you're going
with
on that,
that
leadership thing, then that's the argument that Damian Lillard should be a top five MVP candidate every single season.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I think it's an argument why Devin Booker should be higher.
But people don't even look at it like that. You know, they just look at unfortunately they don't look at the whole picture, right? But some guys do. Some guys look at it in the negative context only, and they don't look at the positive. You know what I mean? You got guys like Chris Paul. You got guys like Devin Booker. You know, Damian Lillard, like you just mentioned, dudes that do great things on and off the court, and those guys always get the shaft. They always do. They always do because Harden and guys like that are the ones that bring all the attention to the NBA. They do.
Yeah. Well, so Fabio in the chat, get the Flaming Ballers involved here, says the real question is who is the MVP of the solar panel? We'll let you guys decide.
I mean, it's not even close.
I know.
This show completely turned around once I got here. So it's not even close.
Unfortunately, that direction was downwards.
So you're arguing the Harden thing. So yeah, so you're basically James Harden of our team, Saul. And that
all right, I'm gonna just ISO them out because I have the control. I'm the captain. I'm the real MVP.
I love it.
That.
Hi guys.
I love it. He does the I am your captain now.
I am the captain now.
Look, Saul went Harden. He just went, you know what? Pushing everybody out of the way. I'm gonna run this thing.
if I went full Harden, I'd be joining the Timeline podcast.
Trust me, they don't want you.
They don't want any of us.
Wow. If I had a dump button, you'd be gone. Yeah,
You know what? I got you. I got you, baby.
Yeah, thank you. Now, if only we could keep it like this for a little while. You at least he's donating to the kids. That's what I'll say for it. Hey,
swears for kids.
Hello in the chat says Espo's DMing people on Twitter he hates. I'm not KD. I'm not KDing it.
Yeah, you're the KD of the team. Saul is the Harden of the team, and I'm Kyrie.
I would rather be the lemon pepper Lou of the team than the Harden of the team.
Saul's heading to the strip club to the
lemon pepper capital.
Because I love me some wings, baby.
Is he ever going to leave the strip club for the team? That's the question.
Saul is going to Magic City after this for the Wings. All right. So let's hop into it. A rough transition, but we're going to look at our smooth baller of the week here because it ties right into our discussion. Our friends over at Manscaped got Bush. Not if you have Manscaped. That's right. You can trim the boys with these clippers, not the Los Angeles kind, the Manscaped kind. They will take care of you. You can use the promo code Flaming Ballers at manscaped.com. Save 20% and get free shipping. That's right, Manscaped. They'll take care of your boys. No reverse Cam Johnson going on there. Again, promo code Flaming Ballers for 20% off. Can we put the graphic back up so I can actually mention why Devin Booker is our smooth baller of the week? So we'll play the music again. Devin Booker, 4 games this week after the God Push graphic goes away. 33.2 points per game, 3.8 rebounds, 3.8 assists, and shot 52%. That's why you're the smooth baller of the week, Devin. Brought to you by Manscaped. Again, use code FLAMINGBALLERS at Manscaped. Manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. I've been asked to cut down on the ball jokes and make this read a lot shorter. So I'll just say this. If you want your boys to look like you've got two Adam Silvers upside down in your pants, go get Manscaped. Get trimmed.
That's not the way to sell this there, buddy.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Look,
man, if you want your hair to be as short as this segment should have been, go ahead and use Manscaped, please.
Get your long ones there, short go. There.
Look, man, if you're going to live in the 21st century, you got to be doing this kind of thing. And then these Manscaped products are excellent.
They are. They sent us our own, and we appreciate it. If you want your nether regions to the hair down there to be as short as Muggsy Bogues, get Manscaped. Use the code FLAMINGBALLERS, 20% off on shipping too. Also, I'm opening the prize closet as always. You know what? It's not a euphemism. It's just me.
You almost have to buy the product just to put in the promo code FLAMINGBALLERS and know that you're one of us. You do.
And I'm opening the prize closet, signed merchandise, other things that I've accumulated over the years. Message us a photo of your receipt or some other proof of purchase. You can email us also at mailbag@solarpanelpod.com. You will be entered to win. So Devin Booker, not only discovered by Stephen A. Smith this week, not only included in the MVP ladder by NBA.com, but also associated with us making ball jokes. So thank you, Devin Booker. Congratulations. You are the smooth baller of the week. Hey, also shout out.
Go ahead. No.
To say, also, shout out to my friends at the PHX fan app. They gave me this awesome Super Dario Baller shirt that I wanted to give a shout out to them for it. I love their app. It's fun to argue back and forth with Suns fans in a non-public form so I can say dumber things than I say on Twitter. So
I was going to say, in regards to Devin Booker, I think the one thing that I love about Devin's game right now is that he is making it look easy. When he pulls up for those mid-range jumpers, I'm more shocked that he misses if he does than when he makes it. Like, I feel like those are more automatic. And when these guys have, you know, when you think of like the Kobe's and the Jordans, and guys like that who just, they get into those zones or those rhythms, and you know that there's just spots on the court where there's nothing you can do. You're at their will. Devin's showing that more and more every single game, and it's really fun to watch.
It is. I mean, we joke that, oh, he's been this guy forever, but there has been an evolution with him, and you just see it, right? Especially in runs like the last week, to your point, you look at it and you're like, okay, I'm shocked if he ever misses. You're totally right.
I believe my man Dave has got a stat about that. Yeah.
Ooh, wait, whoa.
What? Whoa. What happened?
It's not What's on wrong? That topic. I just was just saying.
Then you can't hit me up topic. In the chat when we're talking about Devin Booker. Tell me I got a stat when you want it, baby.
Sorry, bud.
Whoa. What's going on in this chat? That Dave telling you he'll stat you whenever he wants, all right?
You're in the same chat, Espo.
Dave.
You're in the same chat, Espo.
I didn't want to mention that.
I was just letting you know.
Reading has been hard today.
Sorry, man. This is no, my bad. I just was letting you know I'm ready whenever you want.
Okay. I'm ready and I'm open for you to stab me. Oh, man. See?
Apparently not.
Ooh, Dave, stab me.
Yeah, that's all right. I'd love to have a stat ready for Devin Booker because he's so statable. But my stat is actually on – I felt like it was the Spider-Man meme where you got the two looking at each other pointing last on Friday night, the Suns game against the Thunder. Because
like
the
you
Thunder,
two right now with your guerrilla warfare yep. suits on?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
The Suns blowing out the Thunder. The Thunder had actually started what I'm pretty – almost – positive is the youngest starting lineup in the history of the NBA. They had two 19-year-olds in the lineup and all that, and it just made me think of 3-4 years ago when the Suns had the youngest starting lineup in the history of the NBA. In 2017, March 23rd, they started five guys who averaged just over 21 years old, and that was actually younger lineup than any of the final four college teams that year. The Suns lost by 30 to the Nets that night. The Thunder lost by 37. Yeah, I do.
Let me guess. Let me see if I remember. Go. Devin Booker.
Yep.
Tyler Ulis.
Yep.
Derek Jones Jr., Marquise Chris, and Dragan Bender.
No, actually, if they had been able to start Bender, they would have been younger by even another half a year. But they had to start Alex Len that night because Bender was out injured. And so Len brought up their average to 21 years and 14 days. So Len was 24 at the time. But so the Thunder actually fielded the youngest lineup ever to win a game 3 weeks ago when Tale Maledon, who had started Friday night, was out of the lineup and Lou Dort was in. It was 21 years old. So they actually won a game. They beat the Houston Rockets. Everybody beat the Houston Rockets. But they beat the Houston Rockets a couple weeks ago. Now, Friday night was even younger because they had Maledon in for Lou Dort. So they dropped their average well below the Suns.
That is crazy. And I was looking at that. Nobody drafted in the first round in that lineup either. That's another difference with the Suns.
Oh, wow.
The Suns were young and bad with a bunch of first-round
picks. Lottery picks?
These were guys that either weren't drafted or were taken in the second round. So, you know, pump the brakes on how excited you are when you kick their teeth in because they weren't that good of a team. By the way, Mr. Black Pony in the chat, a flaming baller, says premature statulation is what we had at the beginning of the segment. Dave was not ready for where we were going, but no, that's an unbelievable stat.
I just want to say, okay, we can't bash them for barely beating bad teams and then bash them again for beating the brakes off of bad teams.
I'm not bashing them. They did exactly what you should do.
Pump the brakes because, you know, they should have won this game. Yeah, they should have won this game, and they did it handily the way we all wanted them to.
I was just saying that they should kick the teeth in a bunch of 19-year-olds. It's all I'm saying.
I got one more stat for you along that line. The Suns won the first quarter by 30 points, 43-13. That's the biggest margin of any quarter in Suns franchise history in 53 years.
Yeah, that which is crazy. And I think actually brings me into my next question for you guys looking at this. Since they started 8-8, when they were at 500 and we were all freaking out, if we remember that correctly, they are now 26-6 in the last 32 games. How good of a run is this in your minds in Suns history? Is this one of the best stretches we've ever seen this franchise play? Saul, let's start with you.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. There's two things at play for me here, okay? Like, I love the fact that the Suns are winning, okay? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, and I might just be starting a firestorm here, but it feels very matter of fact. When I'm watching the Suns play, like they're going through the motions, they're executing to a high level, and it almost is very kind of Tim Duncan Spurs-like. You know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of excitement, you know, like there's not like, you know, crazy passes or, you know, ooh, ah moments. So I would say that this is one of the best stretches in Suns history, but not one of the most exciting because, you know, I remember those Suns, you know, the 7 seconds or less team, especially like the one run that the Suns were in. I believe they won like 15 of like 16 or something like that at one point. And I think the one game that just took me away was when they were playing Jason Kidd in the Nets in New Jersey. And Steve hits the three-pointer kind of at the buzzer. And it was like those are the types of games that like got you up off of your couch like, and cheering, and we haven't really had too many of those moments this year. They've all been kind of like, oh, okay, cool, yeah, awesome, yeah, great play, but nothing to really get too crazy excited about, if that makes sense.
They're all basically Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul doesn't get too excited about anything, and he even said after one of the games that he could never quit basketball because it's just the thrills and the ups and downs, but you never see it on his face. And you never see it on Devin Booker's face. So
I also think the lack of fans hurts a little bit in this regard.
Of fans hurts a little bit, and as the you know things progress, it's possible we'll get more fans in the stadium as the year goes by. I do feel extremely sad for Suns fans not being able to really enjoy this run as much as the last time the Suns had a full stadium. They were in 10th, 11th, 12th place in the conference. So I've got I've got a lot of feelings for that. And I went to the game the other night and I was really pumped, even though there's only 3,000 fans in the stands, it still felt like there were fans there and it was nice. It was nice to experience that. But back to your comment on the Spurs, they do feel like a machine like that. They feel like an unemotional machine. Chris Paul, deadpan. Devin Booker, deadpan, unless they're arguing calls to the ref. those guys, but basically every good play they have, all they do is they run down the court to make the next play. Yeah. That's it. DeAndre Ayton is pretty deadpan as well, unless he's on the sidelines cheering on his teammates when he's mm-hmm. up. He's up and running around doing that.
And it's no shock because Monty is a disciple of Greg Popovich. Like that's
and he's pretty deadpan out there. Yeah. I mean, anytime you compliment Monty, he goes and self-deprecates constantly in post-game discussions. And so that's just the personality of the team. And you know what? The Spurs won 4 championships in 15 years doing that.
I'll take it.
This is a very the term's blue collar, but I'll call it a purple collar group where they just kind of bring the lunch pail, get things bloody done. Blue. Where 7 seconds or less was Hollywood, right? It was fancy, it was flashy, it was this is what everybody wants to watch, and that's just not what this Suns team is. And you're right, Saul. It almost feels like we just expect it, right? We just watch it and we go, okay, well, this will be another win. They're doing what they'll do, and I think that's why 26-6 just doesn't feel like it jumps off the page like a run like this may have for other Suns teams. But I definitely think this is one of the most consistent runs in Suns history, probably one of the best, but not one of the most memorable, like you said. No, I don't think anybody's going to look back and go, man, do you remember that 26-6 run that this Suns team went on? They're just going to go, do you remember how consistent that team was, how they took care of business? I think that's how it's going to be looked back.
It depends on how the playoffs go, because I would never ever utter those words if they got bounced in the first round. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, they were so consistent they got bounced in the first round is how I would end that sentence.
I think you would say they were a typical Chris Paul team that won a lot in the regular season and didn't succeed in the playoffs. I think it would be the way you'd frame it then, but I don't think it'll change. At no point, no matter how the playoffs go, nobody's going to look at this and go, man, I really remember the run they went on.
The Suns already tried the Hollywood style, and that didn't make it all the way through either. So let's just try a different style.
I agree. I mean,
so you're right about that. Is this one of the best Suns stretches ever? They remember when they went 28-7 in the second half of that 9-10 season, and that propelled them into the, going all the way to the conference finals. We remember that because it was an exciting finish to the season, 28-7. Well, this team, 26-6 run, really, if this team doesn't get past the second round, no one's going to remember 26-6.
They need these wins too. It's not like, everybody, I think some people are forgetting that, like, when we get to like mid-April, end of April, there is a murderer's row of games coming up. And they need to stockpile their lead as far as possible, because you got to assume that they're going to drop a couple, in that stretch. You're not going to win them all. And so, I'll bring up the graphic right here. I mean, just after this week, then you start to go with, Utah, Clippers, and then they got the Wizards, Rockets got a little bit of a reprieve, and then they hit the East Coast. And once they hit that East Coast and they got the Bucks, 76ers, Celtics, Nets and Knicks, and then come back home for the Clippers and Jazz. Whew, that's a brutal 7-game stretch.
Game stretch. But by then, they're going to have such a cushion on the, at least on the 4 seed, that they're not going to drop too far out before getting to finish the season.
This week's not. I mean, this is the preview. This is the sampler platter of a murderer's row, because you go back to back Jazz Clippers, right? Yeah. On national next television week. Both mm-hmm. nights coming up. Like that's your testing ground right there. You look at it and you go, Jazz Clippers, prove yourselves. 26-6 is nice, but prove yourselves against the Jazz and the Clippers. That's your measuring stick right there. Tell us who you are in that run. That's what you need right there.
And for the longest time, the Suns have played teams who, unfortunately, at the time they play them, have been missing some of their stars. And I think finally, when we get to face Utah and LA this week, we're for the first time in probably a month, we're going to play a team that has all their weapons and see how the Suns match up. And it's going to be nice to see. I'm excited to see those kind of games because I want to see. I don't want any excuses. You know what I mean? And you could always make an excuse for all these games. There's no excuse this week. Let's see how they match up. And I think they're going to fare well.
The Suns will face a full Jazz team. If their plane hits any birds again, Donovan Mitchell will take a night off. So
scary.
Those photos were messed up. But that people were getting on Donovan Mitchell for taking a personal day. You didn't want to get back on the plane after that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily feel that.
I felt that.
So, yes, big week coming up for your Suns. But we talked about some historic runs for the Suns. And one of those teams that had one of those runs was the 04-05 Suns, that original 7 seconds or less team. And that team had one Joe Johnson on it. And this week in an interview with, I think it was Whistle Sports, he actually discussed if he felt like they could have won a title and should have won a title.
No. If I stayed with the Phoenix Suns, we'd at least have one title. That haunts me as well, because that's probably the only time I really felt I really had a real chance, you know, to win a championship. So, yeah, that's a tough one.
So do you guys feel like they would have won a title if Joe Johnson had stayed, and feel as downtrodden as he sounded while talking about it?
Oh, I just want to cry when I hear that, man, because I truly believe if Joe Johnson stays, we do win a title, maybe two. It's hard to believe that team would have lost, after all that experience that they gained against the Spurs, you know, and Joe breaking his face, basically, you know, every time I hear that stuff, I'm like, then why didn't you stay? But I understand why he left. Well, so
if Joe doesn't break his face, I think they win a title that year.
Why do we always talk about it like that? Joe didn't actually go out and physically break his face, like, because he wanted to.
No, his face got broken by
somebody. No, I know. But the way we always say injuries, he busted his knee. Oh, he did this. He did. No, somebody busted it for him, you know? So that's all. It's one of those general comments.
Joe Johnson fell flat on his face and broke it. All right.
Yeah. Purposely. Yeah. Yeah. Just wham, just threw it down. No, I get it. We all, you know, I don't know. Have we ever talked about this topic before? I'm not sure if we have. But Joe Johnson wanted 5 years, $50 million the year before the Suns got good. They were coming off a 29 win season. Robert Sarver, who had just spent all the money on Steve Nash and Quentin Richardson, said, "Nah, let's top at 45, which is 9 a year instead of 10 a year." And Joe Johnson took that personally and never wanted to sign with the Suns after that, no matter how good the rest of the season went. So does he regret it a little bit? Yeah. Same way Mike D'Antoni regrets walking out in a huff at the end of the 07-08 season. 2 weeks later, he said, "I probably overreacted after he'd already taken the Knicks job." You know, there's things like that that happen. And I've always been, you've got to play the games. We don't know that they would have won a championship. Is he really that much better than DR was for this team?
Yes.
When Amari went down in 06, yes. 05, 06? Yeah, oh. DR was pretty damn good.
He wasn't Joe Johnson good.
Joe Johnson got better after leaving the Suns.
The biggest part of that.
Would he have been an all-star? Probably. But do we know? No, I don't know.
Look, the biggest what if about that whole trade with Joe Johnson, look, Sarver should have given him the money. Joe should have reconsidered at the time about his stance on the money. They should have met in the middle, right? That they should have just found the middle.
Yeah, but think about this, though, too, okay? Like, think about the environment that they were in, and, you know, the overall mood of the team. And we have to take into consideration the youth of Sarver at the time as an owner in this league, you know? And sometimes people come in and they think they have all the right answers. And sometimes they don't. And I think Sarver's learned from that a great deal in the last decade, because you don't get these opportunities too often. And when you get those opportunities, you need to come through. I think if that situation happens today, we're not even talking about it. Joe Johnson gets signed and they keep going. But
hey, the part of history that's being conveniently being forgotten is that Joe Johnson coming off that 29 win season as a as a rookie, or was he second year? I can't remember, but he was actually one of the worst productive starters in the league. And sure, he was only 21 years old, but that summer was the one he was coming off a terrible prior season where he didn't look like a future star yet. Sure, in 04-05, he showed the future star. But when that contract was being negotiated, he kind of looked like just a Joe.
An average Joe.
An average Joe. Yeah.
Hey, look, P-Dog 006 mentions it in the chat, but I was going to bring it up too. The part of that whole thing that people forget
is the
pick. Because there was a pick attached to Joe Johnson, right? And it was top three protected. And the Suns coming off of, I think it was the that 05-06 season, were supposed
conference
to get
finals.
Basically the number four pick in the draft. That was where Atlanta was slotted, and they thought it'd be four or five, basically.
With Joe Johnson, by the way.
Yeah, like they were going to get that pick coming off of Western Conference Finals run, getting Amari back. Like, everything was supposed to come up roses, and Atlanta jumps to number three. The Suns don't get that pick. It gets pushed off. It becomes a number 15 pick, I believe, and it becomes Robin Lopez.
Yeah.
Like, that changes the dynamic of everything, too. The Suns team had no luck. They just kept crapping out on that stuff, So that's frustrating as well, and I'm glad we opened old wounds. That's what we do here on the Solar Panel.
Thanks a lot, Espo.
We rip scabs off to make you feel better or worse, whatever the case.
Does it make you feel better? Let me ask you guys. Does it make you feel better or worse that Joe Johnson regrets that decision that way, the way he said it?
Makes me feel better because it means misery loves company, and he's miserable about it too, and I'm all right with that, so. That's the only way to look at it. Like,
all?
It probably makes me feel worse.
Saul does not subscribe to the, if I'm going to feel bad about it, you damn well should feel bad about it too. All right. That's lessons I'm bestowing on my child as well. Let's move into the mailbag. We got some questions from fans that came in this week, and, Miscellaneous Thoughts on Twitter says, Saul loves Friends, Espo loves Batman, and Dave loves a good Luby's early dinner while reading his chat. what's your favorite Friends quote? Greg, what's your favorite Batman quote? And Dave, what's your favorite stat? Saul, what's your favorite Friends quote?
It must be the pressure of entertaining. That's probably my favorite Friends quote.
Which is good on this show. Yeah, you feel that every week. Batman, for me, it changes. Lately, for the last year, it's been any time I've had to go out and I put on the mask and I do the Bane. Nobody cared who I was until I put on the mask.
Nobody cares.
Bane.
I've enjoyed that quote for the whole pandemic, so we'll go with that. Dave, what do you have a favorite stat?
I love them all equally. My favorite stat is the Suns are finally in position, strong position for a playoff spot. I'm not going to predict the playoffs because I don't want to jinx it, but they're in the strongest position for a playoff spot since I started truly covering the team. And multiple people have come up to me in the past week going, does it feel good to actually cover a good team? And I'm like, yes, it does. That's my favorite stat. The Suns are finally in strong.
I'm gonna say this like this, man. If the Suns after this don't make the playoffs, oh my God.
Phoenix. The Suns would almost have to lose out.
Yeah, they would. I think they would have to lose out to miss out on the playoffs. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
By the way, do we have the ability to ban people from the chat? Because Perplexed Damage, one of our longtime flaming ballers, just said Moon Knight is greater than Batman. Screw you, Perplexed Damage. Moving on in the mailbag. Brian Higgins.
Know that reference.
Brian Higgins emailed us at mailbag@solarpanelpod.com and asked, what is one former Sun from the last 7 years that you could plug into this team to make them an instant title contender?
Ooh.
I thought it was an interesting question because you got to go back and there's not a lot to pick from.
No.
He said the last 7 years. Good math.
Last 7 years. Former Sun from the last 7 years.
Ooh, you guys are not going to like my
answer. Do you want any of them? Do we want any of them?
But you have to pick one. If you had to pick one, who would it be?
I know who yours is going to be, Saul, just based on that reaction.
Oh, you do?
Uh-huh.
I don't think you do.
Do you want me to guess?
Sure.
Markieff Morris.
Yeah, buddy. Wait, which one's the one that plays for the Lakers?
Markieff.
Okay, yeah.
Look, I don't think you're necessarily wrong.
You can't possibly
do that. That's the sad part.
Oh.
That's the sad part.
Oh, man.
Because you need a banger. And you need somebody that powers the shots. Like, if you took the name and the appearance off of who this person is, and you just put a silhouette and said, this guy does this, this, and this, everybody in the chat would be like, yeah, sign him up.
Dude averages 5 points a game, man.
You know what? Here's one for you. And if we're plucking him out of their prime in those, I think he makes it in the 7-year window here. Marcin Gortat. Imagine him as your backup center in the pick and roll with Chris Paul.
I don't think he's in the window.
I think he's just in.
No,
that
he's in the window. 7 years.
Because he got traded in 14 when McDonough got here, so I think he's still in the window. So, but I think he'd be interesting as a backup on this team.
I look, guys, you guys have completely missed the most obvious one. I can't believe you guys have completely missed. And it took me actually a couple of minutes of thinking because I had to
tell me about your Trevor Ariza or Josh Jackson love, please.
No, Goran Dragic.
Right.
Jesus, guys. Dragic, you bring him off the bench behind with Chris Paul. And today's Goran Dragic. Heck, I'll take last year's Goran Dragic. Healthy Goran Dragic at any stage. That's the guy I want coming off the bench for the Suns as the backup point guard.
What about Isaiah Thomas? That's a good point. Isaiah Thomas had a pretty good season when he got to the Celtics. Like, you would take that year right now?
He's available right now.
The problem, no, he's not. He actually just got signed on a 10-day contract by the New Orleans Pelicans.
Not the Nets?
Mm. In your face!
But if you think about what he did to the locker room here, though, and you might reconsider – one last one.
Was he an upper decker? Is that what happened?
Oh God! I'm not afraid to go there. Sam Rowe from Indiana texted us and said, "With the Suns almost guaranteed a spot in the playoffs, knock on wood, touch metal. thank you. Who do you think our biggest threat is? Obviously, the Lakers, Clippers, and Nuggets. Notice how I didn't mention the Jazz. But if you could do more in-depth on this team, who do you think is the team that scares you the most right now?"
The more the season goes on, the less I'm scared of the Lakers, and I don't know if that's a good thing. they don't scare me as much as they did at the beginning of the season because I don't know how serious these injuries are. And I don't know how far down the pole they're going to end up going. They might put themselves in a position where they have to play the Clippers and the Nuggets in back-to-back series. And that's going to take a lot out of them before they get to the Suns. So I would say that, but really the team that probably scares me the most is Denver, to be honest, because I just think Denver is just a matchup problem, all the way through the board. And,
I look at Denver and I go, they're big. They're playing their best basketball. They're starting to find their form again. They have the playoff experience. Like that team, just if you could avoid them in any possible way, that's the team that scares me. Yes, the Lakers, of course, because of superstar power. But like, look, the Nuggets terrify me from a matchup standpoint. I think you're 100% right on that. And adding Aaron Gordon, I think makes it an even worse matchup for the Suns. It's not that necessarily the Nuggets have overall more talent than the Suns. I just think the matchups, you add JaVale McGee as well. It's just problematic for this team. Dave?
I'm with you guys. I think the Nuggets are currently the scariest, although they have their own flaws, but they don't play great defense, and Aaron Gordon isn't going to shore all that up. They just don't play great D, and so the Suns can score against him, and then it's just a matter of who makes the biggest shots at the end. In their earlier this year, as long as you give Jamal Murray four steps, he can make the game winners, or he can make the game tires to force overtime. Nikola Jokic is just incredible at making crunch time shots, or setting up teammates for crunch time shots. That's what scares me the most. The Lakers, though, are the ones who should scare us the most, just because Anthony Davis and LeBron James are top five players in the entire league. And they're the most likely to beat the Suns convincingly. I think Denver would beat the Suns in a series of if they beat the Suns, it would be in a series of overtime-ish close games that they just happen to make more clutch shots in. So a more exciting series. I would love to see the Suns play the Nuggets. It would just be great. They might not win it.
You know, one team that, people have mentioned in the chat but doesn't really scare me is Portland. I feel like the Suns match up oddly well against Portland.
Yeah, they've always matched up oddly well.
That one doesn't scare me. So thank you to everybody, the Flaming Ballers two-part in the mailbag. You can always hit us up, mailbag@solarpanelpod.com. You can tweet us, or if you head over to Twitter, you can find the text number. You can leave a voicemail or text us. We always appreciate hearing from you and having you as part of the show. And as always, you can take part and add your questions in the chat on YouTube Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. But now it's time for everybody's favorite part of the program that took a week off. It's Espo's Big Board, and an honor of our friend Stephen A. Smith, I'm giving you five Suns I discovered and I think you should know about. You may not know about these guys. Number five, this one you might actually not know about, Marko Milic. I just love him.
Marko Milic.
So look him up if you haven't seen him. I promise this gets better. But Marko, look him up if you don't know him. Amari Stoudemire. I just discovered this guy last night on a deep dive in stats and YouTube. And he was... The Suns have had a star in this Amari Stoudemire guy. Phoenix was
They had a star in Amari Stoudemire.
You should check him out. Don't sleep on him. Phoenix is for real when they had him 10 years ago. So Amari Stoudemire, Paul Westphal. If you don't know Paul, you don't know the Suns. I mean, this guy is great. You should go look him up too. All right, next on the list. Charles Barkley, I know you guys don't know about him, but I really think you should know about him because
who's that guy?
Was damn entertaining and quite good at basketball. So Charles Barkley just discovered him. Good for you to know. And last on my Stephen A. Smith list is Steve Nash. I mean, who knows about a short Canadian white kid that played basketball in Phoenix? Absolutely nobody except for me. I discovered this guy, and I think you should check him out too. That is the top five Suns you might not know about that I discovered, like Stephen A. Smith discovered discovered Devin Booker earlier this week. So that is Espo's Big Board. Obviously,
discoveries.
A total lack of research on my part and just a dumb joke this week. Not unlike most Espo's Big Boards. So
I liked it.
Well, you know, anytime you can make fun of Stephen A. Smith, you got to do it because it's just that bad sometimes. Any final thoughts on the week? We got a big week in Suns basketball coming up with the Suns taking on the Jazz and the Clippers back to back on Wednesday and Thursday this week coming up. I think we're going to know a lot more about this team come next Saturday, but are there other thoughts that you guys have that before we get out of here? Saul, let's start with you.
All right, go ahead, Dave.
No, I want to wait for Saul.
Okay. All right. Well, I would say that this is the calm before the storm. I feel like we have some very exciting and very impactful games coming up. And so this last, you know, month has been kind of like, you know, kind of nice to not stress too much about these games. But, ooh, man, yeah, I almost forgot what it felt like to watch a team play for something very, very important. And watching Arizona women's basketball this week, I was like, oh, shit, yeah, this is a – I forgot what it feels like to sit on your couch and clinch up for like 2.5 hours, and we're about to experience that as Suns fans here in the short future. So I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to those matchups too. I think the Suns are going to show up real well in those games. They're really good on back-to-backs this year, so that you don't have an issue of, oh, they'll be tired on game two. No, they're not. It is possible, obviously, that they could lose those games, but I really do think that that the Suns are going to show out well next week in those back-to-back games. The ones I do worry about are the ones you keep talking about, Saul, which is that late April trip back east and that series of games. That's going to be really tough. But you know what? Good teams have tough stretches. They've got to show or they don't show. It won't have any impact on whether they win in the playoffs or not, because you only play certain teams in the playoffs, and that's going to all be based on matchups. So I'm just really having fun, looking forward to watching some games with healthy lineups in them and the Suns staying healthy. We're all crossing our fingers the Suns stay healthy, so there isn't any excuses for losing.
What's their record when after taking on the Clippers and Jazz?
They have another game before that too.
Look, I just mean in those two games. What do you think they come out of those two games?
1-1.
2-0.
Hey, there you go, Saul.
You know, because I'm Mr. Negative.
Are kicking in, aren't they?
Because I'm Mr. Negative, and we need all three options represented. Oh, I'll just go 0-2. Why not? Long John Silver 85, one of our flaming ballers who clicked that join button on YouTube, he asks, if you were getting jumped, who on this current roster are you choosing to help you?
Tell me,
if
fight?
If you're getting jumped?
To help save you. Yeah, to help fight.
Chris Paul, because he'll just call in all of his reinforcements and get, you know, yeah, I'll do Chris Paul.
I'm picking Torrey Craig. That dude looks like he would just come in and jack somebody up.
I don't know. I think I'd probably pick Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder reminds me of that dude off of Get Rich or Die Trying that was yanking dude's teeth straight out of their mouth. Yeah, Jay Crowder.
All right. I think that's fair. I saw that in the chat and thought, you know what? I'm going to ask this because it's an interesting question. And Long John Silver 85 says he'll choose Crowder as well. So that is somebody says Mikal Bridges. I love Mikal, but the Warden ain't a guy I'm picking in a fight.
he might reach out and just steal their weapons though before they even know.
This is true. So that is another episode of the Solar Panel.
I still
panel.
Pick Markieff Morris.
Only if the guy insults his mother can you pick Markieff Morris. Allegedly.
And only if his brother's there.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of another Sun Solar Panel for the Flaming Ballers. We appreciate all of you. Thank you for joining us on Saturday. Remember, you can subscribe to the show on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts. We appreciate it. 5-star reviews over on Apple Podcasts. Drop one of those in there. And I'm going to throw out a new challenge. If you are musically inclined and can create a Swears for Kids jingle for us, I've got a Penny Hardaway autographed magazine I will send your way.
Please do it.
Make it as annoying and getting caught in your head as possible just to upset Dave. So Swears for Kids jingle. You can mail it to mailbag at solarpanelpod.com or you can tweet it to us at Sun Solar Panel. For Dave King, you can find him on Twitter at Dave King NBA. The NBA is there because it's the only time he can watch TV without seeing the Cars for Kids ad that drives him nuts. So you can find Saul on Twitter at Saul_Bookman. The underscore is there because the Saul is muy caliente and the Bookman just is the wet blanket. They don't get well. they aren't friendly together. You can find me at Espo. It's at Espo because people who gave me my nickname when I was younger were highly uncreative. So that is that. That you can find the show at Sun Solar Panel. And until next time, ahoy hoy, and thanks for watching and listening.
Barkley 20-footer, yes, for the tie. Schwarber turnaround shot in the air. It's good. Finds the ball. Barkley puts it up. Does it count? It does. Jacob does. And it counted.